You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, happy Monday night. Welcome to another edition of the Wolverines live show. Here on Monday, February 27th, a lot to talk about today. Michigan basketball has successfully played itself back onto the NCAA tournament bubble. NFL Combine comes up this week. We'll hit on that. We'll take your questions like we do every Monday night. I, of course, am Anthony Broom, joined every week at this time, 6 p.m. Eastern, by Clayton Safey and Chris Ballas. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, I want to welcome a new sponsor on Monday nights, and a sponsor of the Wolverine on YouTube moving forward, our friends over at Vitamin Energy. Vitamin Energy is a powerful, naturally caffeinated energy shot that nourishes your body with vitamins, supports healthy weight loss, and boosts energy for 7+ hours with no jitters or sugar crash. Now, we got our hands on samples of these over the weekend. I did take one probably about an hour and a half ago, maybe 2 hours. We had a staff meeting this afternoon, so I used it for a nice boost to be in tip-top shape for that. And it does what it says it does. So we love it's going to be a good new sponsor for us. Their mission is to make people healthier and more energized one day at a time. Best for hardworking adults that need extra energy and are seeking a healthier lifestyle. And there are benefits in every shot. It's naturally caffeinated with green tea extract, gluten-free, vegan, kosher certified, keto ready, zero sugars or artificial flavors, no carbs, something for everyone. There's an immune and mood booster, B12, vitamin D, workout plus, sport plus, focus shots, and more. No jitters, no crash. Can confidently say that so far. Supports gut health. It says energy with benefits. Let us help you get through your day and be the best version of yourself. So check out the website at vitaminenergy.com. You can use promo code Wolverine BOGO. That's Wolverine BOGO, where you can buy one and get one free. And that code is displayed at the bottom of our screen as well. So shout out to our friends at Vitamin Energy for their brand new support of the Wolverine and our live shows. Fellas, huge last couple days for this Michigan basketball team. We said that if they were going to scratch and claw their way back into the NCAA tournament picture, it was going to have to be earned, and they've done that and then some since we last spoke when we did our pre-recorded show on Thursday. A win at Rutgers in one of those classic Big Ten rock fight type of games, and then an overtime thriller and as crazy a game as I've seen at Chrysler Center in a long time, Sunday afternoon against Wisconsin. Hunter Dickinson, of course, hits a shot at the buzzer at the end of regulation to arguably save Michigan's season and send it to overtime. So, fellas, I mean, just your reaction from the last few days, and we can have the bubble conversation now, right?
We can. It's in sight, and it kind of depends on who you talk to. It's kind of funny, though, because we are one miracle shot away from talking about how crappy this team is and listening to people talk about how crappy this team is and everything else, and they gave up 41 points in the second half, but winning cures all, right? That's the thing. Look at Iowa, for example. They gave up 101 points in regulation to Michigan State and still found a way to come back and win and change the entire narrative of that game. And that's exactly what happened with that Michigan-Wisconsin game. So credit to Hunter Dickinson. You know, I was thinking about Tom Izzo's comment about Kobe Bufkin's shot against him, how it was 100-1. And I was wondering, what do you think, guys, that Hunter's shot was, you know, 10-1? Because I think he makes that maybe 1 out of 10 times when he's got that clean a look. You know what? The guy's a good shooter. And that's what I'm writing in an article that's going to be going up here in about 30 minutes, is that he is a 40.4% 3-point shooter. Now, granted, it was a tough one. You know, he had a little bit, but he had a good look at it. And I thought it was pure.
Yeah, I'd say 10-1 on that shot. You know, it was pretty deep. But yeah, definitely worse odds than Kobe Bufkin making the one he did against Michigan State. And it still wasn't 100-1, but we'll give Tom Izzo that one, I guess. He's got bigger issues to deal with after blowing that huge lead at Iowa late. But man, this Michigan team, just incredible. You get a break here or there. Wisconsin got a break with a bank shot. Michigan played better, I thought, in that game and deserved to win, and they did. Dominating the overtime 19-11. The guard play was just fantastic. I think Kobe Bufkin, his last 4 or 5 shots were all to either pull Michigan within 2. That was one of them. And then the other 3 were to take a lead when it was either tied or Michigan was down. So people are starting to call him Big Shot Bufkin. Some people out there, I think that was just me maybe. But, you know, he's really coming on. He averaged nearly 17 points in the month of February, 6 rebounds, I think 3 assists or 4 assists. So he's come on. You know, he was already playing good basketball early on in the season, but he's been the difference. And then Doug McDaniel with some of his mid-range shots. The guard play has been fantastic. And then, you know, that kind of is the help that Hunter Dickinson needs. And then sometimes you just need Hunter Dickinson to play really well himself. He dominated for different stretches of that game against Wisconsin and made some big buckets against Rutgers. And Michigan's doing all this without Jet Howard, so that's been impressive as well. And the defense has gotten better too. I don't think it's a huge coincidence that's happening without Jet Howard on the floor. But either way, you know, Michigan's improving. They're the only Big Ten team to have 6 wins in the month of February. They're one of the hottest teams in the country right now. If you look at T-Rank, Bart Torvik's website, since February, Michigan's the 15th best team in the country efficiency-wise with a defense ranked in the 30s. So that is marked improvement from what we saw out of Michigan when they were flying home on January 29th after a 22-point loss to Penn State.
Two things, Anthony, before you continue. 0 assists for Doug McDaniel. I thought that was one of the interesting stats of the game. 7 is total assists on 29 buckets. So sometimes you just got to find different ways, and they did. And then I asked Kobe Bufkin specifically on that last bucket when he went to the hole, if he got fouled. You could see on the replay he got just about got decapitated. It was ridiculous. Big Ten officials need to be better. That was crazy. But give him credit for overcoming that. And you know what? Huge shot by Hunter Dickinson. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Remember, we wrote that column a couple weeks ago saying, man, do more, say less. Well, he did more on Sunday afternoon.
And then he popped off with a tweet, which was well deserved.
That's okay. If you want to talk after that one, then hey, it's like he said, Sundays during Lent, and a lot of Catholics don't know this, Sundays do not actually count as days of Lent. So you know what? Have at it. He could have tweeted, you know, 500 things, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Hunter Dickinson because there are times this year where I think he wants to be Rowdy Roddy Piper, but he's more like Wile E. Coyote and the one who might have this dastardly plan, but winds up losing in the end. But Hunter, I mean, listen, I mean, I'll stop short of calling that legacy defining shot, but if Michigan finds its way into the NCAA tournament, I mean, that's absolutely something that, you know, one of the biggest plays in his Michigan career. So, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think, Clayton, it was obviously Wisconsin had stormed back and taken the lead late, but I think I looked at you at one point and said, Kobe's going to hit a shot to make this interesting, or I forgot what I said, to seal the game for Michigan. And it wasn't sealing the game, but he did so not long after that. So I'm going to take some co-credit on the Big Shot Bufkin call.
For sure.
I'm big on giving people their flowers here. And a guy that, listen, not a huge impact on the scoring sheet, I get it, but what a really – Clayton, you said this before the inbound pass to Dickinson. What a weird place to have to inbound from. Shout out to Terrence Williams for one of the toughest inbound passes that you could probably make, and Hunter Dickinson for coming down with it. Obviously, it's a big target to hit, but both those guys have played a lot of basketball together. I don't know if that connection works with anyone else. That play was supposed to go to Joey Baker, and obviously he was covered and not open. But, you know, when you look at the box score of that game, you see the, only 7 assists. Wisconsin deserves credit too. I mean, they will throw the kitchen sink at you defensively. They're kind of a dollar store, dime store Virginia in that aspect, the way that they play the game and kind of muck it up and bring you down into the gutter with them. But that's one they absolutely had to have. Michigan doesn't win that game. I think they were like 68% projection to win that game on KenPom. That's one of the ones you had to have. And they found a way. And I think the biggest thing to me about these last three games is that not only you've won them, but it has been rewriting the narrative in terms of finding a way to close out games, staying. I think part of it too is you have a go-to guy in these situations now in Bufkin, who feels like he's been doing nothing but making clutch plays over this three-game win streak. And, at some point, for me, I think the biggest thing is Doug McDaniel. I think he's averaging around 17.5 points per game in these last three wins. We've talked about this a number of times. It was never in the plans for him to play as much as he has. But what you're starting to see is him figure it out. And, on nights where, I know the assist numbers aren't where you want them to be in a game on Sunday, but only, was it 2 turnovers? I think he's only had 3 turnovers total in the last three games. So he's playing his best basketball this season at a time where guard play this time of year, really guard play anytime, but especially late February going into March, guard play win or loses you basketball games. And McDaniel mixed with what Bufkin is giving you is why Michigan has had this turnaround.
And I want to point something out on the box score that you see there. +20 for Terrence Williams. Now, sometimes plus minus can be deceiving. Early in the year, it was Will Cheddar. Michigan was better when he was on the floor. And teams started to figure out that if they go right at him and expose him defensively, that's going to change. That's exactly what happened against Rutgers. That's exactly what happened against Wisconsin. They moved that ball around to find that mismatch and really took advantage of him. And I really thought that Williams should have started the second half in his place. When you have an 8-point lead, and you're, Cheddar's been struggling, and that they're going to continue to go to that. And Terrence Williams, I think, was +12 or something at the half. I thought they should have gone there. But the last two games now, Terrence Williams +18 and I think 20 minutes against Rutgers. That means that Michigan's outscoring Rutgers by that many points when he's on the floor. And then a +20 against Wisconsin is phenomenal. It speaks to the other things that he's doing, the rebounds, the 7 rebounds that he got against Wisconsin, his defense, which has gotten better, his lateral movement against Rutgers really caught my eye. Maybe it was because he'd rested a couple games there and he came back but he looked much better. And I thought that was critical. So now if they can get him to hit a couple shots, guys, these are all things that I'm writing about in my article for tonight. You know what? I think he's 2 for 16 from threes. And a lot of them guys have been wide open looks. There was one yesterday. I'm thinking you got to make that shot. There's nobody within, 15 feet of you. So, but the other things that he's doing is making this a better basketball team, but to reach its ceiling, he's got to be a better shooter. So I give him credit too. Maybe the shot wasn't 100-1 that Hunter Dickinson hit, but the play overall, maybe you make that 1 out of 100 times with the perfect pass, the way it played out. And as Greg Gard, Wisconsin's coach, said, Clay, he wasn't supposed to go for the ball. He just was supposed to stay between him and the ball. But, sometimes things don't go as planned.
Yeah, and Terrence Williams, I just think he's better than Will Cheddar. Sometimes the plus minus can be a little bit random, but just in general, I mean, you watch him defend and you're right. I was going back and looking at the synergy stats. Will Cheddar had, he only played 10 minutes, but 7 of Wisconsin's points were when he was the primary defender. Yep. Joey Baker was responsible for 15 of Wisconsin's points. They were kind of going at him too. And, Terrence Williams came in, played much better defense. I agree with you. I thought he was fantastic defensively on Thursday against Rutgers as well. All sorts of different guys he was getting matched up on. Caleb McConnell, even Paul Mulcahy when he was on him. But speaking of Terrence Williams' shooting, what if that's an outlier for Michigan down the stretch here? What if he starts hitting a couple shots? John Beilein used to always talk about how at this time of year, if you're going to make a run, or in Michigan's case here, you know, win enough games to get into the NCAA tournament, you're going to need some outliers to happen. And one of those that's happening is, Anthony, what you're talking about with Doug. I was looking at some stats on his mid-range shooting. 47.4% on mid-range jumpers this year. That's third in the Big Ten among those with 20 or more attempts. So, you know, and there was one where his foot was like on the line. I was like, just step back an inch. But no, maybe it's maybe that's his thing. You know, it's going to be the long two. Everyone's kind of trying to phase that out of the game right now, analytics wise, but it's working for Doug. So keep letting those fly. And, you know, he's bound to make a mistake. We saw him have a turnover late. You know, that's going to happen with a young point guard like him. But overall, he's been much better lately. Zero assists. I mean, he was kind of taking what Wisconsin was giving. You know, they're kind of backing up on him, and he was taking those shots. I thought he controlled the game pretty well, which is an area he's grown in as well. So if Doug McDaniel can be an outlier, if Terrence Williams can be an outlier, if it is Joey Baker at some point, or even if it's Will Cheddar off the bench, if he starts to play a little bit better, you know, you have a good enough core, I think, right now with Kobe Bufkin, Hunter Dickinson, potentially whatever Jet Howard gives you when he comes back, which I would expect to be Thursday. Then, you know, if those other pieces come along enough, you're a dangerous enough team to, you know, knock off anybody, I think.
Yeah, and I want to, Hutch, if you don't mind pulling up Michigan's schedule here down the stretch, that would be great. I also want to move on a bit into the road ahead and what's next. Now, there has been a narrative out there that this team is better without Jet Howard, and I'm not buying that. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that, but I still think, you know, you look at where this team is at right now, I think it's in a good headspace at the moment. I think that defensively, there's been enough buy-in. There were some blowbys Wisconsin had, but Juwan said after the game, Wisconsin's a good team, and they have guys that can score and get to the rim, and that's going to happen sometimes. So, you know, for me, I think that it takes some pressure off of rushing Jet Howard back, because you do have the rest of your pieces playing well, and then you plug a guy who, you know, maybe gets his wheels back beneath him. And if you can get that guy back on your team and start hit, you know, he kind of gets back to his vintage self in terms of hitting shots. I still think the best version of this basketball team includes him out on the floor. But what do you guys think about not only him, but, you know, these final two games? You talk about the road ahead here. Michigan sitting here at 17 wins. We've been talking about for weeks, the magic number looks like it's 19. So you win these next two at Illinois, at Indiana, you got to feel pretty good about yourself. You even split the next two, you feel good about it in terms of what your matchups could look like in this Big Ten tournament in Chicago. But all of a sudden, like you said, we're back to talking about this team being on the NCAA tournament bubble. And, you know, how do you guys feel about these final two games and what Jet Howard can provide in them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it is the elephant in the room. I asked Juwan Howard specifically after the game. I said, how do you feel now knowing that you've got a guy in Kobe Bufkin who has grown into that role of being the guy that wants the ball down the stretch? And who was it against Indiana? It looked like nobody wanted it. And here's Kobe Bufkin now hitting the jump shot off the dribble to give Michigan a late lead. He takes it to the rim, got hacked, should have been at the free throw line to win the game. I have no doubt that he would have hit those free throws or at least wanted to tie the game. He's got that much confidence in his game right now. And Juwan's response was, well, we got a bunch of guys like that. And I'm thinking, well, okay. You know, but right now you've got one that's kind of separated himself. So it's interesting because we get a lot of people saying, oh, you're way too hard on Jet Howard and it's noticeable and you don't like him and you don't like Juwan and this and that and this and that. And I'll say this, we're always going to call him like we see him. And we have been tame compared to some of the former Michigan basketball players that we've talked to speaking about Jet Howard's defense out there, where it looks like he doesn't care. There are some really harsh comments there where sometimes they are deserved, where, come on, Jet, you know what? You got four guys playing one defense and you're playing something else. There's no excuse for that at this point in the year. You got four guys busting their ass and you're sitting there loafing a little bit. That's not acceptable. And that's something that we would expect the head coach to hold him accountable for. And I expect he will. And he has at times this year. So, but when you've got these guys playing as well as they have together in stretches, you still need another scorer. If you look at that box score from yesterday, three guys did all the scoring essentially, right? And you still need another scorer out there. And Jet Howard can be that as long as he understands that he doesn't have to be dribbling the air out of the ball and launching, you know, from 25 feet early in the shot clock, and he's taking it within the framework of the offense, then I think he's certainly a positive on this team. But he's got to be better defensively. He's got to be more dialed in. and to the little things as well. I want to see him better on the glass, guys. There's no reason that he shouldn't be a better rebounder than he is. So I don't think there's any question that he can and will help this team as long as he is 100% committed to that and he's 100% healthy, which it sounds like he will be. Juwan Howard is going to insist upon that before he comes back from that ankle injury. But let's see what happens here in the next two games. I definitely think Illinois is the more winnable of the two. Indiana on senior day and the way they're playing is going to be a tough one. So really, as somebody said on the message board Thursday, it's almost kind of a play-in game, Clay.
Yeah, and you said it with Jet Howard. It's, you know, I wrote this after the game. I hope he's been taking notes of just the effort his teammates have been playing with defensively and just how dialed in they've been to the scouting report, to who they're guarding, to what they're doing, where they're supposed to be, that sort of thing, because it's been pretty noticeable. And it's been a small sample size with Jet Howard. I don't think Michigan's better off without him. But for me, it's like right now some of the issues they have defensively, they're no juggernaut on defense, even though they've been better. But when they do have issues, it's more about, okay, well, that's Joey Baker. He just can't stay in front of that guy with that angle or whatever. It's been more about personnel limitations than it has been about mental mistakes or, you know, playing zone when everyone else is in man, that sort of thing, which to me, sometimes you just got to chalk it up to good offense. Like even Wisconsin, not a good offensive team, who I've been critical throughout the season of, you know, they made some great shots. Klesmet was incredible. I thought Connor Asijan, he's kind of the new Dwayne Washington, where he wanted to be he wanted to play at Michigan or whatever, didn't get an offer. And now here he is putting up two separate career highs against Michigan. I guess they said on the broadcast, he grew up a Michigan fan. So, sometimes you got to chalk it up to that. But then, when you look at, you know, going ahead here, Illinois, Indiana, I mean, Illinois would be much easier than winning, at Indiana on Trace Jackson Davis's senior day. I would say that individually, I don't look at either of these as a win, but I think odds are they probably get one of them and they're in a really good spot. I think they could probably get in with 18 wins if it's one of these two. If they lose both and then win just one in the Big Ten tournament, then I think it'll probably be tough. You might have to win two, and it depends on your draw and all that sort of thing. It's a moving target, but you get one of these two, and I think you feel pretty good going to the Big Ten tournament. You may have a double bye. And there's kind of the argument, well, do you want a double bye because you get less opportunities to kind of, you know, pick up an extra win? But to me, I'm like, man, the committee knows, you know, that you earned your way to get that double bye. And secondly, it means you, you know, knocked off one of these teams and picked up a quality win to get that. So I'm in that camp. I think you want the double bye. I think that, you want to win one of these next two. Certainly you want to win them both. And it's just amazing that they technically have a chance, not just technically, I mean, they have a chance of getting a share of the Big Ten title going into the final week, which is insane. Purdue would have to lose their last two. Michigan would have to win these two, and other teams could share it as well. But the fact that we're talking about that again, after a month ago, they looked dead in the water, you know, speaks to the improvement, speaks to the way they've played lately.
Think about this, Anthony, real quick. If Michigan had Jet Howard and they had beaten Purdue, they would be tied in the Big Ten standings right now for the lead. So I believe that's the case, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think they'd be within a game. That's for
would
sure.
They be within a game?
Yeah,
no, because they're two games back, right?
Yeah, you're right. But they'd have, I guess that's true. Let's see. Purdue is 13-5. Right, but if Michigan had beaten Purdue head-to-head, then Purdue would be 12-7 in the league, and Michigan would be 12-7 in the league.
What are they, 13th?
Or 12 and – yeah. No, you're right. Hold on. Yeah, they'd have one less win, right, and one more loss. So they'd be 12-6, and Michigan would be 12-6 if they had beaten Purdue.
True. Yeah.
That's great math. Yeah, so well that's at Michigan. That's at Michigan Education. Yeah,
so, it's like Francis, I'm Mac, like doing the math.
That's right.
Live I'm right Mac there. Educated, so math so there is you not go. My strong suit. I'll say this: looking most likely, just when you break down the seeding, still there's a less than 1% chance at the number one seed, which is again off. I don't see it. It's less than 1%. Let's not.
Well, Kobe Bufkin made the shot against Michigan State, so I mean. Who knows?
That's 1%. And Michigan had a 2% chance to win the Big Ten, right, in football 2 years ago?
That's right. You're right. So it is mathematically in play. Really, seeds 1 through 9 still mathematically in play. So a lot riding on, even if you just split one of these games this week, it's looking like, I'll just run through it really quick. 16% for the number two seed, 18% for the number three seed, 12% for the four seed, 13% for the number five seed, 9% for the six, 13% for the seven, 14% for the eight, and 5% for the number nine. So for me, I mean, I think you want to mostly just avoid that 8-9 game, because even if you do need two wins, that means you're going to get Purdue next. And who knows, maybe Michigan gets one against Purdue. But you know, right now, if the Big Ten tournament started today, which doesn't matter because there is so much more to sort out, but it's a fun exercise, Michigan would be the number five seed and take on either Ohio State and Nebraska, who would have played a game on Wednesday night. So I think you take that right now, if you can get one of those two games. So, or get one of these two games down the stretch. So obviously they've played themselves back in the bubble. I think 18 wins is probably a coin flip. I think I'd feel pretty good about 19 if this team can find a way to get there, and anything more than that is just gravy. So need two wins. Anything that you don't get in these last two, tax on what you would need to get in Chicago about 11 days from now. So a lot to still play for. As of right now, Joe Lunardi put them in his I believe his last or his first four out. So some work that still needed to be done, but they're in the conversation. I think that's all you can really ask for right now. Any other final thoughts on hoops, fellas?
Yeah, I'll even go to Dayton, fellas. I don't care. Let's just make the tournament here so that we don't have to cover the NIT, with all due respect to the people who cover the NIT. I remember watching Michigan and Hawaii. It was like an 80-degree day in March, and Michigan was playing the NIT against Hawaii, and they had to open up all the doors. This is before all the renovations, and it was horrible. I don't want you guys to have to experience that. So this is really for me, about you. I don't want you to have to cover that.
Yeah, a couple people responded to Hunter on a great question from Clayton yesterday, asking if he had thought about yesterday's game being his last at Michigan. Dickinson said he didn't think so. And of course, you get the smart ass people who go, that's because they'll be hosting NIT games in a couple weeks. So we'll see. All you can ask for is a chance, and they've given themselves a chance, and it's well earned. And, you know, Juwan Howard, Phil Martelli, Howard Eisley, Sade Washington coaching their asses off right now. They deserve flowers for that as well. Let's break here really quick and talk about our friends over at Rogue Shop. You guys know them at this point. They've been wonderful partners of us throughout, really dating back to football season. If you have issues sleeping, chronic pain, anxiety, stress, check out RogueShop.com. Rogue Shop sells CBD, THC, edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candies, soaps. I almost have this memorized, by the way. They handcraft all of their own stuff, topical soaps, candies, bath salts, massage oils, tinctures. So for stress, anxiety, chronic pain, all of these things, Rogue Shop has a nice menu of products for you. Website has a 24/7 chat function where customers can ask them anything. They grow their own product in their own manufacturing facility. All of their stuff is made with cannabis that they grow. All of their edibles are custom formulated. True small business, disabled owned, veteran owned, black owned, woman owned. Richard and Charmaine have been amazing partners to us. They only have 5 employees, so you're getting that small business feel and getting a great product in return. And personalized notes in your in the care packages that they send out to you. So you can use promo code THEWOLVERINE for 10% off at RogueShop.com. That's RogueShop.com. 10% off using promo code THEWOLVERINE. And I know my my cohorts on here, we've been singing their praises for months, and nothing has changed.
Yeah, the pain cream's been fantastic. The older I get, guys, and I got a milestone, another birthday coming up. So, you know what? You go to the gym, you come back, the pain cream's been a blessing. So, and those, I'll tell you what, the edibles for the last couple of weeks have been great too, man. Dealing with message board crazies and stuff like that, it's been very helpful. So, I love the Delta 9 Everlasting Gobstoppers. I will continue to say that. That's my go-to and always will be.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but you take a vitamin energy and then you take a gummy, you can get really crazy with that. So no, but Rogue Shop has been great to us. And what's that?
Sorry, you guys froze up on me for a sec.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. I think we're back. But yeah, no, love Rogue Shop.
Yep. Shout out to Rogue Shop. I use promo code The Wolverine for 10% off at rogueshop.com. That's R-O-G-U-E-S-H-O-P.com. Every week is like the national spelling bee for me where I list that off. But shout out to our friends at Rogue Shop. And thank you so much for your continued support. All right. I want to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk some Michigan football, but the 2023 Wolverines are off this week. It's spring break at Michigan. They'll pick things back up next week. But the topic of the week from a football perspective is the NFL Combine. Michigan will send another healthy dose of Wolverines to that event in Indianapolis this week. I just want to kind of go around the room and do some superlative type things talking about the Combine. So we'll just start with this. I mean, knowing who's there, knowing the guys from last year's team, I mean, it's so different when you go to the NFL Combine because we're like, oh, wow, you know, Oluwatimi, best center in college football. Then you look at these mock drafts and projections and people say he's a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick. So the conversation changes a little bit with the players, but obviously a big week for those guys in terms of meeting with teams, in terms of the on-field stuff. I want to start with this, guys. The player, in your opinion, and we can start with Clayton, then we'll go Chris, and then I'll do mine. The player, in your opinion, from last year's Michigan team, who is working out at the NFL Combine this week, who you think has the most to gain in terms of how he's viewed from a national perspective? So, Clayton, we'll start with you.
We'll start with me because, speaking of drafts, remember that spring game draft from last year, how I dominated that? But
Oh, you mean against Anthony?
Yeah. Yeah,
That was awesome.
I had to bring it up again. Yes. I'm going to bring it up every week from here on out. But no, the guy who I think has the most to gain is a guy who was considered a first-round pick at one point last season, Mike Morris. You know, he suffered an injury at the end of the year. Even when he was in there, he was playing limited. He tried to give it a go against Ohio State, probably set himself back in his recovery by doing that. Same with Blake Corum. Testament to Michigan's culture right there. But I think Mike Moe is a guy that, you know, we'll see what he weighs in at. I'm going to be interested about that. Is he going to slim down? He was playing at 292 last season, 6'6", and playing a wide edge position for Michigan and, you know, showed off his athleticism at that size. So I'll be interested to see what he weighs in at. But, you know, if he does well in the drills, if he tests well, I think he could climb himself way back up and kind of boost his stock. And then DJ Turner too. I just kind of want to see what he runs in the 40, because there was Bruce Feldman, you know, put him on his freaks list and said that he ran a 4.29 40-yard dash, I think it was, or 4.28 in his GPS time or miles per hour, 23.07 miles per hour. So I just want to see if that's real, because, you know, DJ Turner plays fast. I don't necessarily think he's quite there. And, you know, maybe Ben Herbert has a little bit faster, you know, stopwatch than some of us when it comes to his own guys, which rightfully so for the strength and conditioning programs. But those two guys, I think, could really kind of come out of this event as a big winner, because, you know, I think they have the attributes. They just got to show it. And then once they do, we could see their stock kind of rise.
3.95. I know what you mean. It's like, it's like if you're not doing it if you're doing it hand timed, then there's going to be a little bit of margin for error there. So I want to see Ryan Hayes' strength, number one. I think Ryan Hayes, you know, I always said he didn't seem big enough. He didn't seem strong enough. And I was never ripping on him, even though his parents up in Traverse City, I heard secondhand, weren't real thrilled with me comparing him to Chris Zeman, who actually played in the NFL for a few years, Hayes. So that wasn't really a pejorative there. I was giving him some credit and saying he didn't really have the typical body type, but he played extremely well. I want to see how he does strength wise. And then you beat me to it with DJ Turner, Clay. I want to see how he tests and how fast he really is. And I thought he had an up and down year. I thought I expected a little bit more of him. At the same time, you know what? I went against some really good receivers and held his own as well. So we'll see. But those are the two guys. And then Brad Robbins is better than he showed last year. I don't have any question about that. I want to see him relax a little bit, have some fun out there, young man, and do what you do best. And just go after it, man, because that kid, I think, could have a future if he can find the consistency that he had a couple years ago.
Yeah, for me, it's a guy who headlined – Bruce Feldman's Freaks list last year and Mozzie Smith. I know the production on the field didn't quite match what maybe people had expected. I think people, when you see that he headlines the Freak list, they're saying, oh my gosh, he's going to be the next Ndamukong Suh and have 13 and a half sacks and all that type of stuff. But I think from a, you know, the NFL loves, you know, they like production, but they put a lot more stock into some of those athletic traits, and especially teams when they fall in love with the traits, and then they kind of craft what a guy's role could be. I think Mozzie Smith has a lot to gain in this, because there's some chatter among the draft Knicks as I've started to dive deeper into that process and kind of get opinions on other guys. There are people who think that if he has a big week and shows all the stuff that was talked about in when he was headlining that Freaks list, that he could be a guy that squeaks into the first round. I mean, athletic space eating defensive tackles are hard to find. I mean, they do not grow on trees. So for him, I think it's a huge week for him, obviously. And meeting with teams too, you know, we think that situation, you know, the gun situation was a little bit overblown from a social media fervor perspective, but meeting with teams this week will also be key for him in terms of quelling a lot of those concerns. So for me, it's Mozzie Smith. I'm fascinated. I mean, workout warriors do not always, just because you're a workout warrior doesn't mean you wind up being a high draft pick. It doesn't mean you're going to be a good NFL player, but you know, we're watching these and putting live blogs together. If we could talk about Mozzie Smith breaking a bench press record while also having an amazing three cone time, I think that's by far the most interesting storyline. But and also I'd say an honorable mention would be Luke Schoonmaker. If he's able to participate, I know he was dealing with an injury earlier this off season. There are also draft people who think he could kind of work himself into that second or third round range.
Wow.
You know, given the fact, you know, Michigan's passing game does not lend itself to showcasing guys. So it also kind of applies to Ronnie Bell a bit in that same respect. But there are people that think, you know, that they love the frame, the blocking ability, the catch radius. He checks a lot of boxes. So I'm interested to see what the consensus is on him, not just in the combine, but what we're talking about coming out of, you know, heading into the home stretch of the pre-draft process as well. So those are my two guys in that respect. So I guess the next question I would have when I look at this list is, you know, how do we feel, who do you think, we'll just go right to this, and this might even be something we revisit down the road, but you stare at this list right here and right now and forget about what the combine is, forget about any of the extracurriculars. Who do you think will be the best NFL player that comes out of this group of nine combine invitees?
Clay.
Man, I'm on the spot. I think it's going to be, I think Mozzie Smith is probably the safest bet for me, position wise. I think he performed better than maybe some people are giving him credit for. I mean, I think he performed like a freak last year as well. I mean, the double teams that he took on, that just block destruction, which is one of the pillars of Jesse Minter's defense, knock on wood, hopefully that continues. You know, so I got Mozzie Smith. He was productive. And he's got the attributes, and you're right. I was going to mention this. 22 reps on the bench press, according to Bruce Feldman, at 325 pounds. They're going to be doing 225, obviously, at the combine. He has a chance to break the record. It's an insane record, 49, by former Oregon State D-tackle Steven Paella. But he, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. And then BC offensive lineman Zion Johnson last year was 32. I think Mozzie, if he does bench, which you would assume he does, is going to shatter that and probably lead everybody at the combine. So at least we'd be writing about that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Mozzie on that.
Yeah, I'd like that pick. And Jake Moody's going to have a great career in the NFL. This kid has got ice in his veins, and he's going to do it for the Detroit Lions. You heard it here first. So we talked to some of his people, as you know. You guys were there. And it was really quite the revelation, man, that Jake Moody wants to stay home and kick for the Detroit Lions, which I would be all for. That family is fantastic, man, all of them. So, and one of the best kids we ever covered. I tweeted that recently. So good luck to all of them, though. And I think Olu Atimi is going to have a nice career, too, just because he doesn't move as well as some people. This kid has the want to. He's got the desire, the intelligence, and everything else to be a long-lasting, and the strength. For God's sake, he's got the strength to be a long-lasting lineman in this league. And what a fit he was, man. It seemed like he was here for 5 years, guys, even though he was only here for one.
Yeah, I'll go back and double down on Mazi Smith. I think that he's I think that some there's whoever picks him up has a guy who's if he doesn't cause havoc on his own, he's going to open up a number of possibilities for the guys that play around him. So again, would love him to be a Detroit Lion, team back up with Aiden Hutchinson, open things up for him to be a even more of a force than he was in his rookie year. And I'll also say Olu. I think that that's a guy that if he finds a team to go to where a downhill power run scheme, I think he has the smarts. He has the physical ability and he actually moves fairly well for a player his size too. So I just feel like that's again, maybe he's a third round pick, fourth round pick, whatever it is. I feel like you can probably plug that guy into the middle of your offensive line. And at the very least have a depth guy who's capable of starting games. So that's who I would roll with. And also Jake Moody, Lions have 5 picks in the top 100, then don't have a pick until the fifth round. Would love for that fifth round pick to be on him. You know, you get that late in the draft, you're just looking for guys that are, you know, if you can get a guy that's going to fill a roster spot for 3, 4, 5, 10 years, I mean, it's, I know people complain about using draft capital on special teamers, but if you have a slam dunk guy like that, you got to make it happen. So any NFL draft combine thoughts? I know I'm still catching up on it given, you know, all the stuff that's been on our plate recently, but any other superlatives or thoughts about this group?
It's, you know what, there's not a ton of star power there. It's funny, other than Moody, it was probably the best at his position. And that just speaks to what you can do in winning championships, maybe not national championships, but what you can do to win Big Tens and beat teams like Ohio State when you've got a group of guys that are that committed to it. And Ronnie Bell, too, is another guy I root for. I think he's more of a freak athlete than people understand and realize. I think that he's going to have a nice NFL career, too. He's another one of those guys that I could see going to, you know, the old New England Patriots under Bill Parcells. He would have loved him. Andy Reid, who loves those Michigan guys, would love Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell's going to have a nice career in the NFL.
Yeah, my last thought is Michigan's got 9 guys heading there. It's tied for the 3rd most among any school. Think of the guys that decided to come back to Michigan that could have gone to the NFL. They would have had, 12, 13, 14 guys here this week, and there would be even more star power with Blake Corum. He wouldn't be participating, but – he would certainly be down there and he'd be the talk of, you know, part of, you know, the talk of the town, given the fact that he'd be there and he'd be talking to teams and everything like that. So it's just amazing that they had, you know, they have this many prospects and that they could have had, you know, quite a few more as well. So just a heck of a team last season. And I wish all these guys the best.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway, and then we'll move into questions here, is this, I look at this group and I think of just who isn't there and how, like you said, the guys that could have been there. And my mind even goes to, what is this list going to look like next year? I mean, I could see a scenario where there's 12, 13, 14 guys that get invited. And that just speaks to how great of a team it was last year and how much better they can be this upcoming season. So that's exciting. The schedule wise breaks down March 2nd. You'll have your defensive linemen and linebackers working March 3rd. Defensive backs and special teamers March 4th will be quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. And March 5th will be the offensive line and running backs. So big week coming up in Indianapolis for Michigan's pro hopefuls. Let's get to questions now. Of course, our first two are going to come from our good friend here, Shane Johnson. Shane is great at just throwing the kitchen sink at us. He gets the most bang for his buck than anyone on this YouTube channel.
Deservedly so.
He says, Hunter Dickinson Wowzer, is 19 the magic number for the NCAA tournament? And does Michigan win any games by less than double digits in the regular season? Now he's talking football. Uh-huh. With Amorian Walker playing at 80% level of Will Johnson. We'll go around the room first. I think 19 is the magic number. That feels right to me. Outside shot at 18. I mean, this is a team last year that got in with 17 wins, but again, did a little better in the non-conference, had a few more signature wins in Big Ten play. So we'll see. I do think that 19 is the magic. I think if you get to 19, you feel pretty good about it. I won't say you're not sweating going to Selection Sunday, but you kind of can kick your feet up a little bit and not be sitting on the edge of your seat.
I think 19, as long as one of those is one of these two games here, Illinois or Indiana, you need one more signature win before you go into the Big Ten tournament on the road, and then you're feeling pretty good. And then win one in the Big Ten tournament, you're in. So that to me is where things stand. I haven't seen anybody who says otherwise that, you know, Michigan has to win one of these last two games, otherwise has to make a deep run into the tournament. And even then it might not be enough. So you're hoping, I guess you got to kind of root for Michigan State and Pitt, right, guys, to get those quad one wins up there too. Pitt's, I think, at 52. Michigan State, I think, is at 32 in the net. And if those go up a couple spots, then you're looking at two more quad one wins, and everything matters at this point when you're on the bubble like you are. And unfortunately, they are there because of the Central Michigan game and because they let some games get away, but you can only do now what you can do. So I give them credit for the rebound here in this last month.
Yeah. Quick rant about the net. I mean, the fact that there's like some huge difference between 32 and 30 makes absolutely no sense. And I think it's kind of a lazy way of the committee being like, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll just do 1 through 30, and then, you know, it's, you know, neutral is up to 50 and 75, and then we'll cut it off there. What's the difference? You know, look at the teams, evaluate the teams. I know they do some of that, but it seems a little bit lazy. I don't know who these committee people are, but I'd like to, you know, give them a piece of my mind. But yeah, I think 19 is pretty much the magic number. I could see a scenario where Michigan wins one of these last two, loses its first Big Ten tournament game for the second straight year and just the second time since 2006, and still gets in. But, you know, I you wouldn't feel great going into Selection Sunday. And again, it's a moving target. So, you know, I say that, but I don't know what's going to happen elsewhere. I don't know if Michigan State's going to win, get up to 30 in the net, or if another bubble team is going to lose or whatever. So it's hard to exactly predict, but I'd say 19 and you feel good. And, you know, let's say you get one of these last two, you win one in the Big Ten tournament. After that, you get to 19, you're kind of playing for, you know, seeding, not being in Dayton, maybe grabbing like a 10 seed or something like that. So there's still that scenario out there as well. But man, you got kind of saved your chances. You know, it wasn't going to be impossible without the Wisconsin win, but it was going to be extremely, extremely hard. Now it looks a little bit easier. And, you know, you can kind of go in and potentially, you know, feel good about your chances after this week. It's a huge one.
And then we'll move on to the football question here. It says, does Michigan, I'll say this first. He says, Amorian Walker playing at 80% the level of Will Johnson. Right now, I'd take 60% out of him if he winds up in the starting lineup. And we don't know if that'll happen. So I'll tap the brakes there a little bit. I mean, if that's the hypothetical, then you might be talking about, you know, a potentially all-time good Michigan defense. So it's exciting to think about. But Shane also asked, does Michigan win any games by less than double digits in the regular season? And I'll say yes, because even the best teams, even Georgia last year, had a couple close calls. Michigan had a close call against Illinois. Even
Ohio State at Maryland, right?
Yeah. Everyone goes through that. When you play 12 games in the regular season, you play 13, 14 games, however long your season is, there's going to be a couple close calls in there. Especially, I mean, you go play at Michigan State on the road and you play at Penn State on the road. Listen, I mean, I'm gonna pick Michigan to win every game it plays this fall. I'll just tell you that right up front. But again, I mean, single digit games happen, and I don't think it's not a comment on if the team is any good or not. It's just everyone goes through it.
And if you gave me the opportunity for a 1-point win at Penn State, Shane, right now, I would take it and run, right? You don't know. I mean, look at Nebraska a couple of years ago. Michigan had to rally to win that game at night at Nebraska in that environment. You just can't predict. You know, at Michigan State 2 years ago, they should have won that game, should have won it handily, get a couple breaks that don't go their way, and they end up losing it. So it's not about the margin of victory. It's about winning. I don't think people understand how hard it is to go through a schedule undefeated, which is what Michigan did last year until that semifinal game. So it rarely happens. It almost never happens at Michigan. So I'll take them. I would imagine there'll be a couple tighter ones in there that when we want, Shane, at Penn State's the one that I got my eye on. They're going to want some revenge after that ass kicking this year.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, I don't know when the last time was that Michigan won every game by double digits. I mean, you know, 19-0 whatever. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really, really hard to do. You look at the 1997 team, you know, they have a close game against Iowa that they could have lost. So, I mean, all these, you know, so that's certainly not the you know, meter for what's a great team and what's not. But the fact that this hypothetical, a great one by the great Shane Johnson, is even out there tells you just how, you know, good this Michigan team can be this fall. But Shane, we appreciate the question, man. Appreciate your stewardship. I think you have another question, so I won't pump you up too much because we still got to answer one of your other ones. We still get to answer one of your other ones. But
I'll say this. There are early lines out on FanDuel I wrote about last week. Michigan is currently a 1.5-point favorite at Penn State, a 15.5-point favorite at Michigan State, and I believe it was a 1-point favorite. It's either 1 or 1.5 at home against Ohio State. So they're not even favored to win every game by, at least in the here and now, by double digits. But if they do, you're talking – if this team goes through the regular season and just beats the hell out of everyone by multiple scores, that will be like maybe the best Michigan team that has ever existed. Uh-huh. You have to go back at least, you know, in the era where at least there's a bit of a talent, at least a smidge of parity in college football. So on to Shane's next comment here. He says he finally found the 30-minute Jim Harbaugh presser from last week at mgoblue.com. It was great. AP had the best question during it regarding JJ. I love the confidence Jim Harbaugh has in JJ McCarthy. We talked about this a little bit last week, just in terms of, you know, him. I had asked him, just, you look at last season and do you sit here in the spring, wonder how much more you can put on his plate? And he was kind of caught off guard and had to think about it. And he said he frequently thinks about how much more they can put on him. And he feels like he's had, he had 2 years of experience last year when he would normally only get one. So I guess it's on the table. I would love, I feel like this is the type of quarterback he's been chasing for years. I mean, he thought he might have had it with Brandon Peters, thought you may have had it with Dylan McCaffrey, hoping that you could put the tools together with a guy like Joe Milton. But J.J. McCarthy is the complete package. And again, I've made no bones about it. I think you can and should put more on his plate.
Yep, and Jim Harbaugh answered that question. Then he, in his mind, he's thinking, man, I'm going to get the ball to Blake Corum 10 more times this year because that's the sure thing. And you know what? I will never complain about how many times they run the ball compared to how many times they pass the ball when they go undefeated in a regular season. So it was a great question, though, because we are all thinking it. And it's like, okay, what else are they going to do with him? At the same time, you got to keep this guy healthy, AB. So, you know, you can run him some more, but you're putting him in harm's way when you do that. We've seen that with some of these quarterbacks over the years, Dylan McCaffrey taking a shot. And J.J. McCarthy is not one of these guys who's going to slide. You know what? He's smart, but there are times that he's putting his shoulder down. Remember the goal line at Ohio State, man. And that was a different scenario because you're talking last game of the year and you have to score. But that's something that you have to be wary of too. So I would like to see him throw a little bit more. I'd like to see a little bit more diversity in the passing game as well, in terms of, you know, some of the routes, a little bit more creative. But again, I will not complain about that offense last year, and I hope that they continue to build on it with the running game being central to what they're doing.
Yeah, every now and then with JJ, that hockey player in him kind of takes over, and he doesn't want to slide. You know, which is fine in certain circumstances. This is how I was going to answer, is not even about the run pass split, but maybe what more you can do in the run game with him in some of the bigger games where it's kind of do or die. I agree. Throughout the season, I mean, you don't want him to take a ton of hits and be beat up, you know, for those bigger games later in the year. But, you know, when you have to wait until the second half against Ohio State to really see him kind of, or see them really open up the run game for him, I thought that was a little disappointing. I'm nitpicking, I guess, a 22-point win at Ohio State. But
29, you know, 29, if we're being honest.
Should have been 29. Unbelievable. Absolutely. Terrible call. But and then the TCU game, I thought they should have ran him more as well. But, you know, that's something I think you can look at. You know, I think they can run more. Or, I mean, they can throw more if they want to, but they also have – a guy like Blake Corum, who you're going to want to get the ball to as many times as you possibly can, if you feel like that's the best way to have your team win. And it's been proven. So it's going to be tough, but the good thing is about JJ, and Jim Harbaugh said this after the Ohio State game, he said he could have complained all year about how they're not throwing a lot or whatever, but instead he just did what they asked him to do. And now he's a legend, you know, for beating Ohio State. So, you know, JJ, he just wants to win as well. It's not like this either or where it's like, oh, you got to get him the ball, you know, because, you know, he wants it. No, I mean, he wants the ball, I'm sure, and he wants to throw, but he wants to win too, and he loves the guys he has around him.
That's what makes him special, man. That's all that matters to him.
Yeah, I've got time for a few more here. This one's from Shob Fam, who says, partway through the season, I asked what was more likely, Blake Corum for Heisman or repeating the John Moore Award. Looks like if BC stayed healthy, likely had both. Could we see both next season, or will Donovan Edwards take away from Blake Corum? Yeah, I mean, the Heisman Trophy is a quarterback's award now. I hate that it's become that, but you know, if you're sitting here and telling me, you know, is there a chance that Blake Corum could be in New York for the ceremony and that Michigan wins the Joe Moore Award again? It's possible. I almost kind of hope that they don't win the Joe Moore Award, because it's the last 2 years when they've played two of their worst games after that in, you know, against Georgia, which I don't hold against them, historically good Georgia defense. And, you know, they had trouble blocking that 3-3-5 that TCU threw out there. So it's possible. I think it's on the table if everyone stays healthy. I think Blake Corum would have to go absolutely nuts in terms of production to win the award, which is on the table. But I do think that I can foresee this running back dynamic still being a bit of a little bit more of a timeshare than it was last year. But, you know, that's contingent on health, and also Donovan Edwards developing as more of a guy who you can count on for more than just the big runs.
Yeah, more than just the all or nothing runs. And I want to see more of him in the slot. And I've said that many times, and I think we will. So I don't think you're going to see a whole lot less carries for Blake Corum. They will run him when they have to win the game. And that's exactly what Jim Harbaugh has said. I'm not going to make any apologies for working this kid when he's our best player and he can handle it. It's very clear. It's not the injury against Illinois was not an overuse injury. Let's put it that way. That was a freak thing that happened on the sidelines and it sucked, but I'm with you on the Joe Moore. I really thought Georgia should have won it last year, with all due respect to Michigan. I thought they had a better line. And I think there is no way in hell that they're going to give the same team three in a row unless Michigan were to go out and run for 500 yards every game or 400 yards every game or something like that. So, but I do feel good about the offensive line as long as Sherrone Moore is there. Maybe they will rename that award for him, both Moores, the Joe and Sherrone Moore Award, in 20 years when Sherrone Moore retires, because that guy keeps churning out great lines.
I think we all said during the season when we were asked if Michigan was going to win the Joe Moore Award again, I think we all kind of said probably not, you know, won't be a repeat winner. And admittedly, you know, I don't watch all these offensive lines that closely on other teams when we're pretty occupied here with our duties covering the Michigan team. But I will say this, and I said this back then, that trophy is damn big and damn heavy, and it might just be easier to keep it inside of Schembechler Hall. So that might be on the table, but no, I don't think they will win that award. You know, I mean, it was impressive how they were able to replace a couple starters, you know, and do what they did last season on the offensive line. It's going to be challenging again, even though they have tons of options, a great problem to have, as Jim Harbaugh said last week, with the offensive line. How do you whittle it down to just five? It's going to be extremely challenging. But, you know, could Blake Corum win the Heisman? I'm not so sure he wouldn't have if he stayed healthy last year. You can't predict exactly what would have happened in the Ohio State and Purdue games for him. But when you look at the rest of the Heisman race, and no disrespect to Caleb Williams, but like, I don't know, I don't feel like there was a guy that kind of just went in there and won it. It was just kind of like, okay, you know, Caleb Williams is kind of still just the top guy, the last man standing here. Hendon Hooker got hurt as well, so that played a factor in it. But, you know, so I think Blake is absolutely going to have a chance. It's going to be tough to replicate what he did last season, you know, but I think he can. And, you know, get to New York, that'd be a huge accomplishment for a running back, as Anthony said. I mean, it's just ridiculous now. It's whatever quarterback has the most video game type of numbers, even if they're playing Pac-12 defenses. But, you know, kind of is what it is. But I think Blake's going to have a great year for sure.
I will maintain that Caleb Williams deserved his Heisman because I watched his defense so many times last year.
That's true too.
That's the biggest argument for him in terms of most valuable player. Talking about a Mac level, and I've watched a lot of Mac football, so that's even disrespectful to my roots in that respect. So
I think Caleb Williams was deserving too. By the way, I do think he was deserving. I'm just saying, Blake stays healthy. I don't know.
Yeah, if he has that game against Ohio State that Donovan did, for example.
Right, that's his moment.
Right. And if he comes back against TCU and puts up big numbers, which I think he would have, then hey. Well, actually, that was after the fact.
Yeah, Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue, that's what I meant. Yep, so there you go.
All right, quick one here to end it. Back to basketball from Amy Thomas. Go Blue, any thoughts on Big Ten tournament matchups and our chances? I will, because we talked a decent amount of that about that at the beginning of the show, I would just want to go around the room real quick. Are there teams that you wouldn't want to see, whether it be a second or a third time in the Big Ten tournament, if Michigan needs to add another win or two? Mine really quick would be Northwestern, just because it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. And also that last time you got them at the end of a five game and 11 day stretch. And Penn State, which I think is just kind of a bad matchup for them. They were able to win that game on January 4th, but got absolutely blitzed in Happy Valley. I think those would be the two for me. Looking at the way the brackets shake out, I think there's a good chance you avoid both of them. But, you know, if Michigan's in a must-win situation in the Big Ten tournament, who don't you want to see?
Yeah, I don't – the Wisconsin matchup again. Look at that. The last two times they've played, you know, they don't play their best game against Wisconsin for whatever reason. And part of it, you know, you've got a young team and they run such an intricate offense. I asked Stu Douglas about that when he had me on his podcast, and he said, you know, it took us years to figure out where to go and what to do and everything else. And Wisconsin does a really nice job exploiting Michigan's defensive inefficiencies. So that one, Nebraska's playing great basketball right now, guys. It was funny when you said Ohio State and Nebraska, and I'm like, holy crap. I think Nebraska has a good chance to beat Michigan State tomorrow night on senior night at 9 o'clock. And they've won four out of the last five or something like that. So playing good ball. So, but you know what? It's kind of a crapshoot, Amy. And there's not a team that you can't beat out there. And with one exception, there is not a team that you can't lose to. So it really kind of depends on the draws. And you know what? Just go get one or two. If they win the thing, that's great. But get the one out of two this week and get one in the Big Ten tournament. I don't care who it is, and I'm happy.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Anthony, about Penn State. Tough to guard. Now, it's been hard for Penn State to guard Michigan when they can actually make a shot. That kind of throw away maybe just how out of hand things got in that game at Penn State, but I would circle them. But man, Indiana, they're just playing well right now and, you know, look like a top 10, 15 team in the country. So I guess you would say them and maybe Purdue. But other than that, I mean, you know, each team I think Michigan matches up decently well against, and I think would have a good chance. But I was gonna say Nebraska too. I mean, like, they're 5-1. They went 5-1 in February. They have been playing well. They're actually over 500 overall for the season at 15-14, which is just crazy because they were kind of lumped in at one point in the season with Minnesota, who I think is a team that is just going to lose Wednesday, so it won't matter anyway. But I'd love to see Minnesota if I'm Michigan. It wouldn't do anything, I guess, for your resume, but be an easy win, I think. But they were lumped in together at one point. And now Nebraska's, you know, playing good basketball. And I think Tom Izzo said it today or yesterday that it's the best basketball that they've been playing under Fred Hoiberg. I agree. And I think it kind of probably is giving Nebraska fans some hope going into next season that they can kind of, you know, he's amassed a decent amount of talent, but go forward and maybe win some games, you know, earlier on in the season, get yourself in contention for the NCAA tournament going forward. But yeah, it's going to be chaos, I think, in Chicago with all the teams that could win it. I don't know who's going to win this thing, and it's going to be fun to see it unfold. I mean, you hope from Michigan's standpoint that maybe they do enough going in where they just need one win. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be Indiana that wins it finally, guys. Mark it down.
It could be.
Well, I guess all I would say is just stay away from Tominaga. The guy is a complete electric factory. So I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you to our viewers out there. Be sure to you can like and subscribe this to – totally just had a brain fart. Like this video and subscribe to The Wolverine. Find us on all of your podcast feeds. Appreciate you guys taking out a little bit of time. Again, shout out to Vitamin Energy. Buy one, get one off of your order using the code WolverineBogo. Fellas, we'll talk – the three of us will talk again on Thursday. More shows coming up this week from The Wolverine, as you guys know. Thank you, and we will talk to you again soon.